to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hey, Brains, how you doing today? Welcome home. You're back on the edge with me and my guest, Laura DeFranco. What does taekwondo, drag racing, poetry, and healing arts all hold in common? Well, all four of them have Laura DeFranco's name all on them. Laura has a third-degree black belt. She can kick a butt, Brains. And a clear preference for traveling fast. But she is also a pragmatic champion of small business owners who want to push their health-based practices to the next level. Laura offers inspiring speeches, workshops, online writing clubs, and other services that can help talented health professionals tell their own story so that they, too, can maximize their professional impact. With almost three decades of expertise and experience in holistic physical therapy behind her, she has written six books, including her latest, Brave Healing, A Guide for Your Journey. Help me welcome her to the edge. Be sure that you bow. She has three black belts, three-degree black belts. So be sure you bow, and as we welcome our guest, Laura DeFranco. Hey, how you doing, sweet thing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Wow. Wow, you make me sound good, April.
Girl, you are a superstar. I got to put on my glasses when you walk in the room.
Wow. Thank you.
You shine so bright. So I want to hear a little bit about everything because you are like a smorgasbord of goodness. You got so many things in the mix. Let's talk about physical therapy, because my hip is hurting right now, so maybe you can talk me through the process, and then we're going to expand on the horizons and talk about the other great things you do. So tell us a little bit about your physical therapy experience and work.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing it for almost 30 years now, and I think what I came to, for the long story short version, is that physical therapy, even though it's called physical therapy, needs to be holistic. So if you guys really want true authentic healing, then you better be with someone who can evaluate and treat your whole self, mind, body, and soul. And that's really why I started using the word holistic in front of physical therapist when I started to talk about myself.
Well, you know, I had physical therapy and it was awful sauce, you know, maybe just because I didn't come to Bethesda, Maryland to hook up with you. But it didn't work through my kink. He gave me a couple exercises. I mean, I was looking for that little electrolysis. I was looking for some massage, some ice, some heat, the whole nine yards. Then he goes, well, you know, maybe we need to go in and give you an injection of cortisone. No, that's not what I want to do. But when is it a point when we are trying to recover from an injury that we really need the assistance of drugs? Because that's important. Sometimes, you know, I need a little something to get that kink out and to relax that muscle, and working it out and exercising doesn't do it. How do we gauge that?
You know what? That is a fantastic question, because if you're in so much pain that you can't even get in the car and go to physical therapy, think about that for a minute. You know, that might be a time, but oh my gosh, my holistic colleagues are going to cringe if I start talking about, you know, when you should be taking drugs. You know, what I want to talk about is how you can do this healing journey without them, of course, because anything that's going to numb your system is going to numb your ability to really feel what's going on. Mm-hmm. And pain, you know, pain, it shows you you're alive. It's a warning signal, and you can't numb that warning signal too much before you get into a little bit of trouble. So you said some really important things about traditional physical therapy that I'll piggyback off of. In a traditional setting, therapists are made to see 16, 18 patients a day. How the heck are they going to give you the hands-on treatment that you deserve and need for pain relief if they're seeing that many people, right? So they might throw a couple exercises at you, tell you to go do your homework, whatever. Mm-hmm. But really, holistic therapy, the kind that, you know, treats you as the whole being you are, is way more hands-on. And in the hands-on magic can be the pain relief. I could talk to you about myofascial release and craniosacral therapy,
mm-hmm.
and all the amazing hands-on therapies that I've practiced. And that's where the magic is, April.
Right. Well, you know, I had a great guest on last week that has a new product out called the Fascinator. And when you said fascia, really working on that nerve that runs all the way from the top of the spine down through the sciatic, and they say the fascia runs through the entire body. So, I think that that's really great that you incorporate that. Do you also recommend things like maybe acupressure, acupuncture, massage therapy, meditation? Do you incorporate a lot of those modalities in your physical therapy as well?
Of course, because not one thing helps everybody. So really part of this game is the awareness and really knowing what options you have and what resources you have. I am a huge fan of acupuncture. My joke about that is that, you know, when you have to fill out a form where you put your doctor's name and number, well, that person on my forms is my acupuncturist. I really believe that that way of looking at somebody, you know, does the trick. Acupuncture is awesome. Meditation, yes. If you don't have some form of awareness practice in your day, then you are missing a huge opportunity for healing. And meditation, and I like to use the M word because it scares people. They think that I mean sit on a pillow for an hour with your legs crossed, you know, oming. But no, it's,
they don't,
you know,
get
even
it.
Just being mindful, that
right.
can be a form of meditation.
Right. Cooking is a form of meditation.
Exactly.
I sit in a chair sometime. You don't have to be in a certain position. You don't have to be in a certain room. It doesn't have to be a ceremony or a ritual. You know, it is being
exactly.
in that space, being in that breath, being in that moment. But let's talk about something else. You and Taekwondo, okay? Now, I have noticed that there are more women that are really studying, not karate, but Taekwondo. Why is that? Is that also a form of mental discipline and stretching the muscles? Why did you pick Taekwondo?
Well, I picked it for a very practical reason, because my son at the time was 5 and a half, and we were looking for something for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed up at a class at the YMCA, and just to watch that first day, we walked out of the class, and he looked up at me, and I looked down at him, and I said, well, what do you think, bud? And he's like, well, Mom, if you do it, I'll do it.
Wow.
And 6 years later, we earned our black belts together. So, you know, I love that you are talking about more women getting into it. You know, Taekwondo is known for its kicks, and women naturally have a lot more lower body strength than upper body strength. And so kicking, I'm telling you, I was addicted at the first kick. I love the forms and the kicking that we get to learn in Taekwondo.
And it's so important that, you know, all of us women, and men too, you know, we take some sort of self-defense class. I'm not a strong proponent on being aggressive and being violent, but I am a strong proponent on getting somebody off of me. You know,
yeah.
I'll give you my purse if you're just going to go on and run, but if you're trying to take me down, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a fight. So, you know, that, and also a confidence builder for young women, maybe on a college campuses, you know, from people that may try to assault them, and also children. I think that if children are a little bit more disciplined and know that they have the tools to protect themselves against bullies or predators, that they really don't have to use it, because it's a mind discipline. They learn how to walk away more so than be confrontational. So I think that is a beautiful, beautiful martial art. So
really true. I wanted to offer you, too, my master's quote from the very beginning. We learned, discipline the mind, the body will follow.
Mm.
I love that.
I do, too. I do, too. So you're working with physical therapy. You're doing Taekwondo inside of a race car. How did you get inside of a race car, woman?
All
That's
right.
What I
you really
know.
Want to hear this? You really want to hear this story?
Well,
you
I don't
listen,
know if it could be better than the 5-year-old telling you to start Taekwondo.
I know. I love that story. I will always be proud of that. Hey, I've loved cars since I could drive them. And way back when, I was 16, I had saved up all my pizza making money, and I wanted to buy the first car. It was a used 1966 Mustang. We bought it for $1,000. My parents helped me out. All right. And we never were able to hang on to that car because, you know, who can keep up a classic car? Like, it had an oil leak, this and that. I was living with my mom at the time. My parents had been divorced. We couldn't keep the car. I was heartbroken, and I have wanted that car, a car, a Mustang, ever since. So a couple of years ago, one of my divorced presents to myself was my dream car. And I bought a 2016 EcoBoost Ford Mustang in shadow black, and I started looking up meetups because I wanted to learn about my car. I wanted to meet other people who knew about it and could talk to me about driving it and keeping it up. And I met a guy who knew about the local Maryland Raceway, and long story short, he got me on the track. We modified the car to work on the track, and I drag raced it a couple of times that day. It was super awesome.
Wow. Yeah, I used to go to the street races with my sweet thing, Mr. Magnificent. You know, I would hold the money. And he had nitrous oxide on his car. I was like, who does that?
Oh, my gosh.
Fast and the Furious. But it's great.
Crazy.
It's really a great sport. And there's a lot of women that are going into funny car racing as well as drag racing and the speedway. And I didn't understand.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't understand why women or anybody would be excited at seeing a car go around a track at, you know, these incredible speeds with it almost 200 miles an hour and sit there for hours and watch it until I was in the hospital. And I had my neighbor next to me, and she taught me all about it. So it is a very intriguing sport. It does take a lot of skill, but it can be very dangerous. So I want you to be careful out there, okay?
It is. Well, you know, that was a little bit of a bucket list kind of item. Somebody asked me recently, are you going to do it again? And I said, maybe one more time. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, as long as you're careful, that's good. So you've done all of these wonderful things, but really where your heart and your passion is in writing. And you are a phenomenal writer and poet. My brains are going to get an opportunity to hear one of your magnificent poems. But before that, what sparked in you the idea to incorporate your writing in physical therapy and with physical therapists? Did you feel that there was an untold story there?
Well, I had been writing since I was 15 in my journals. And when I opened my business in, that was 2008, I started blogging. You know, it kind of just seemed like a natural thing. I could start to write healing articles and educate people about what physical therapy was and how to help themselves heal. And so the writing started, but all of those years as I developed my career, I knew, you could ask my friends and family, I would talk about it all the time. I knew there was a book in me. And so when my son and I had finished that 6-year stint training together in Taekwondo, I had been journaling avidly my whole life, including those 6 years. And one day, I don't know why the light bulb went off, but it did. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, my book is pretty much written. And it was. I opened up those journals and I saw the stories that I wanted to share with the world. And I was terrified to publish that first book because it was the first time I was really sharing myself, you know, and what I had been through as a mom and a wife and a healer and a martial artist, all of it. But I'm telling you, that was the start of the Brave Healer Revolution. That is when I realized that sharing our stories heals me, and it also heals other people who are reading your story. Super powerful.
Right. And it is powerful, you know, because it tells so many stories. It also is a way of releasing. When you're doing physical therapy, you're doing massage, you're doing Reiki, any of that, you are really taking on the energy of the person that you are healing. So you have to have an outlet. You have to have some sort of conduit, some sort of way to, you know, let that go. And so writing has been that for you, and now you've been able to help others with that. Please share with us. You've taken it to the next level, not just writing in your journal. You have written 6 books. You got me beat by 3. I'm coming after you, woman.
All right.
So tell me a little bit about what's in the pages of some of your books.
Yeah, the books are, the first one was a memoir. It told the story, but because I'm a journaler, I included questions for the reader to ponder themselves and write about. And I started writing poetry and ended up with 4 books of poetry. And I collaborated with some artist friends and put some artwork in with the poems on those 4 poetry books. And the last book I wrote, Brave Healing, I would say is kind of the signature book. It's called a teaching memoir. It's got personal stories, but every other chapter is a tool. And I guide the reader through the body awareness and the writing for themselves, asking different questions, getting them through things like doubt and fear and those inner critic messages and all that stuff that was stopping me up on my journey. And so, yeah, there's a lot in those books. And you'll find some poetry in both of the memoirs. And of course, because poetry turns me on.
I know.
So, yeah.
Me too. So would you be kind enough to read us or recite for us, because you're a spoken word poet such as myself. So recite for us one of your incredible, unique poems. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, of course. So Brave Healing, you guys, right? So how about we do a little Brave Healing right now? I am going to show you how. Rest your mind, take a breath, feel the words that are said. Drop down inside, recognize hiding isn't the answer. Take a moment to feel everything. Maybe you'll see we all feel everything. Nothing's really right or wrong, it's all more like a song. You like rock, I like jazz, but all music has a vibe, and it's the vibe we feel that's real. No word or rhyme or melody is better. It all just depends on what jives with your heart, what makes your soul light on fire, or dance, or sing, or express. So maybe instead of killing each other or dropping bombs or trying to find something the other did wrong, we could move to the sounds made of love. How about we heal the wound inside ourselves first? That's the way we heal the world. What if being born automatically makes you worthy, a living, breathing manifestation of creative energy with the power to heal? It all starts with a feel. You're a healer, whether you know it or not, might as well be brave and start now. What do you feel? Can you feel yourself out loud on this stage with your message, or does the heat of unworthiness and shame keep you afraid? Fear is just a feeling. And it's stealing your show. It's going to take a brave kind of healing. But I am here today to tell you that anything is possible when you wake up fiercely alive inside of your life and decide to make a change. Brave healing. It starts with a pause and a breath, a check-in with your body and your mind, knowing what feels good and right to your soul. Follow those sacred breadcrumbs until you're standing there, staring joy in the face, and both of you laugh and say, baby, we've mastered this game. Now it's time to play. And that is the poem.
Hand claps and fingers pat. Absolutely.
You.
That is brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the edge with us. I really, really appreciate you. I value you, all the work that you're doing with individuals. Please tell my brains how to get a copy of one of your books and how to contact you in case they need to get, you know, some of them kinks worked out.
Yes, you guys, all the books are on Amazon. So you could even just type in my name, Laura DeFranco, on Amazon, and you'll find them all. Brave Healing, Living Healing in Taekwondo, all the poetry books are there. And for everything else, come find me at bravehealer.com.
Did you hear all of that, brains? Bravehealer.com. There's poetry, there's memoir, there's healing, there's physical therapy, understanding touch and passion, getting over your pain, be it psychological, physical, mental, emotional. Laura DeFranco is there for you, and she was here for us on the edge. Thank you so much, wonderful, for visiting us. Please come back and
visit
us again.
Thank you, April.
You promise?
Yes. I do. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
All right. You're awesome, Sauce, too. Brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think about Laura's poetry. That's how we grow. That's how we evolve. That's how we come up with new stuff. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, LinkedIn. The whole planet is connected to On the Edge. I love you deeply and completely from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough. Have a great day, Brains. Bye, Laura.
Bye.